Second Thessalonians. See how many times I can say that right this evening. Chapter 3 and verses 10 through 13. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its clarity and truth. Thank you for how it teaches us every area that we need to know, how it teaches us to follow in your steps. Pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts to your word this evening and have your spirit upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Looking at the sin of laziness this evening. Sin of laziness. And yes, while the Bible doesn't ever just say laziness is a sin, it implies it an awful lot. We live in a day and age where, you know, everybody's right, right? And you can do as you please, and some people, well, they're just that way. If you type in laziness on Google, the first thing that comes up is this, in suggested searches, is not the word laziness by itself, not laziness definition, but a title of a book that came out a few years ago, and now I can't remember the exact title. You'll have to pardon me for one second. Laziness does not exist. It's the title of the book. So the first, if you type in lazy on Google or laziness on Google, the first thing that comes up is laziness does not exist. Now, how many people believe that? Nobody here, huh? Good. Good. We've got a good beginning point. Well, some psychologists, they're a social psychologist, and they've been studying their students for however many years, and they came up with an excuse for everything their students could possibly do to say, to procrastinate, to put stuff off and whatnot. They say, well, it's not laziness. It's this person was busy. This person has, they're a little bit slower mental capacity. This blah, 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 blah. In fact, one of their, I just skimmed their introductory chapter, it was either that or it was some article that they wrote about their book. And one of their reasons for saying that laziness does not exist was a student that they had, the same student, went through two semesters, took the same course over again twice, never did a single assignment, a single paper, that didn't turn anything in. Did the same course twice, both times, never turned anything in. But they were a fine person. So, therefore, because they were a fine person, and they made it through twice, even though I'm not sure how you can make it through if you didn't do the work. But anyway, they don't have a problem with laziness. That was this psychologist premise. And I bring that to light as a groundwork here. You know, we live in a day and age where, oh, everybody's right. You know, the different, and I realize there's some different people with different work ethic. There's different people that, and I'm not talking about ethics is not the right word, so I'm sorry. Work ability, okay? For those of you who know my dad, take my dad and I as an example. My dad will work circles around anybody. And I'm a plotter. He was always telling me, hurry up, hurry up. You don't keep up with me. I just didn't have it in me. It wasn't that I wasn't going to keep working. He taught me to work with him, but I could not keep up. I couldn't keep up with my dad just walking through a grocery store. That's just the way it was. So there's different levels there, okay? That didn't make me... No, I was lazy. I had plenty of lazy moments. But just when I couldn't keep up, that didn't make me lazy. I was doing my best. And, you know, he was doing his best the way he knew how. So there's different grades of ability, sure. And so some people have different... a prowess in a different area. You know, somebody's going to be more artistic and they're going to have great abilities in that area. Where another person, like me, can't hardly draw stick figures. Can't hardly do much of anything, but I try it all. So, there's different grades of ability that way. But just because one can't do what another one's doing, that doesn't make him lazy. But laziness itself is a thing. And we'll look at some of the things in the Bible that are talked about. Again, we can't cover them all, but we'll look at a number of them here. as we're still in the introduction, turn back to Proverbs chapter 13. And verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Laziness itself is when you would rather not do something as a choice. Okay? You would rather not. And not a choice in that, okay, I've got two things to do and I would rather do this. But, you know, I don't really want to do that. I'd rather play a video game or watch TV or read a book or sit here and do nothing. Oh, man, it feels so good to do nothing sometimes. Well, and don't get me wrong, it's fine to take a break. But when you would rather sit here and do nothing... then actually go and do something that needs done. The Bible says very specifically, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. All thy might. Now, right now is a good time to be touching on the subject because we just went through a year where our entire culture... got the a boost in the lazy area. I don't know how many people I talked to over the fall as restrictions started lifting. Oh, I had such a relaxing summer. I was stuck at home and, you know, I just didn't want to do anything. There's one lady here in town who's, and I forget exactly how she said it, but something along the lines of, she has this list of projects at home that she was always telling herself that, man, if she just had time at home, she would get these projects done. And she had 2 months that was stuck at home, and she hadn't done any of those projects. So we just went through a year where our entire society got a boost in the laziness area, including many Christians. Because we forgot that the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Notice the presumptive case of that verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth. Not whatsoever finds you to do. whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do that with all your might. You know, plenty of stuff will come to you and pass you on by, but it's what you find to do that actually gets done. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, Paul tells the Thessalonians that I would, if you weren't working, that you don't get to eat either. And remember, the churches in those days were set up in such a way that they were following the pattern of Jerusalem. Not all of them, but most of them were following the pattern of Jerusalem, where those who had much gave to the church for the purpose of distributing. So you had taken care of the pastor, you had taken care of the needs of the church, you have taken care of the traveling ministers, Paul and others. But then you also see where they gave to the church specifically to meet the needs of those who needed something, those who did not have. So Paul is saying, even those people who don't have anything, if they're not doing anything, they shouldn't get anything. You say, well, wait a minute, where's Christian charity in that? And this is one of the things that people kind of, the lines get all blurred. But Paul had a point. And we'll look at that in a few minutes when we get back to the passage. We're in Proverbs 13. Paul was getting to the addressing this area because of their cause, the cause of the lazy people. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. All right, so all the way back in Proverbs, we see the soul of the sluggard desireth. You know, he's got the same desires as every other person. But as a sluggard, as somebody who's not occupying their time and their mind and their hands, they actually have greater desires because they've got too much free time. Their mind goes on and on about, oh, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that, and so forth. I know I've said this before, but as a teen, I had the idea that as long as my bills were taken care of, then I didn't really need to put any money away. I mean, I worked for Dad, helped him out, and all my needs were met. As long as I paid the few bills that I had, then I didn't really need to put any money away. I could just go do what I wanted. And a lot of that was helping out other people. But there was a lot of not doing anything. But in that, there was a lot of, man, now my dad had 80 acres and we're up in the middle of rangeland. So most of the neighbors, there was no houses. There were just acres and acres and acres and acres. You could literally go 4 miles and not see any building newer than 100 years. It was cool. But, and no residents. So I wanted a quad, a four-wheeler. I'm a Canadian coming through. I wanted a four-wheeler. I wanted a snowmobile. I wanted those. Before my dad bought a big tractor, we borrowed my granddad's small tractor, and I wanted a tractor with a loader on it. And I saved some money here and there, and, you know, a couple $100s. I thought I was doing good, but never crossed my mind that if I would have taken all those hours of thinking, oh man, if I could do this if I had that, or I could do this, I just would have just gone and worked for that hour. I would have been an hour closer rather than an hour really further away, an hour wasted. excuse me. the soul of the sluggard desireth. That's what he does, because he's not occupying himself with anything else. And hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. He'll have his needs supplied. Now, back in 2 Thessalonians, we see the premise that, or the cause that he touches on with these lazy people in the Thessalonican church, is what they were doing. For we hear that are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, I want to pose something to you, and something that we don't usually think about. But our laziness is not private. Okay? Your laziness doesn't just affect you. My laziness does not just affect me. It's not a private, personal thing. We live in a society where everything's about, well, you gotta have your me time. What? That's not what the Bible says. There's nothing about me time. Laziness is not a private deal. Here in the Bible it says, we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. Those that were working not at all were causing disorder in the whole church. Think about that. Their life was not in order, and therefore it was causing the whole church to have glitches in the order of life. And then it says, but are busybodies. So, a couple things that we see right here. Laziness not being private, it is disorderly. That means it's disruptive to normal pattern. That's what disorderly means. Disruptive to normal pattern. It also means unorganized. I'm still terrible at this one. My wife will tell you. I come in, I've got a pocket full of papers, so I've got the mail in my pocket, whatever, and I put it where I'm going to next address it. I'm terrible at this. I don't always just put it away. Now, it would take another 2 minutes to put it away. Well, then the next time I come in, I stick some more mail there. And then I stick some more mail there. And yeah, it would have just taken an extra motion, an extra couple minutes to organize it right then. But no, it all piles up. And then next thing you know, I got to take a whole day to go through all this paper. Now, does it feel like I'm being lazy? No, I'm on my way through. I got something else to do. But that little bit of not being complete, that little bit of being unorganized or disorderly, compounds on me later on. And I know it's a problem. I keep trying to work on it. but that little bit of not completing something, of, well, I don't have, I'm doing this. Can be laziness, or can build laziness. Laziness also creates busybodies. Why is that? Now, we looked at busybodies last week and how, no, last week, week before, whichever, last couple weeks. If you're not filling up your life with what you need to be doing, then you're usually filling up your life with what other people are doing. And in that, you slow them down. So not only are you not doing what you should be doing, now, I'm not saying you shouldn't fellowship or you shouldn't visit friends or whatnot. This is talking about busybodies, okay? Somebody who is, rather than doing what they should be doing, they're spending it out finding out what everybody else is doing. Okay? There's a difference in getting in the way, especially as a habit, and just being friends and fellowshipping. But busybodies not only are wasting their own time, but they're wasting the time of those they get in, are busybodying around. As we looked the other week, how gossip creates bigger problems, and then you got to go clean up the whole problem, and it makes a great big mess. So laziness is not a private deal. It's not just somebody innocently whiling away their own time. It affects those around them. What else does laziness do? Proverbs chapter 26 in verse 13, it lies to you. It lies to others. Maybe you're using a lie to get out of work. These lies create fear. Proverbs 26 and verse 13 says, "The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion's in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." He starts with a lie. There's a lion in the streets. Oh, I can't go out of the house. There's danger. You don't just have to say a lion. I mean, how about the person who, they won't ride in the car because there's vehicle accidents. Oh, and I might get hit. They won't use there's all kinds of things like that where somebody uses a fear that they've created as an excuse to get out of doing something. Laziness will lie to you, and you lie to others, and it creates a fear in your life. The Christian shouldn't have fear in our lives. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. There's a lion in the streets. Okay, pack a gun. Take care of the problem and keep on with what you should be doing. But the sluggard is wiser in his own conceits. See that? He starts with one lie. And then so that he can stay in bed, he comes up with another lie. And so that he doesn't have to cook a meal, he comes up with something else. Oh, my hand hurts. I twisted my thumb when I was getting out of bed. grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He's wiser in his own conceit. That's making up lies, making up something that sounds good, than seven men that can render a reason. Think about that. I've often pictured this conversation. You've got all these people giving all these really good reasons on why this should be done. And the sluggard says, "But what about this?" And the other seven guys go, okay. And the sluggard goes on back to his comfy chair. Ha! I got him. But really, they're all just dumbfounded that he used that as a reason. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." Here's another reason why Paul says, if you won't work, you shouldn't eat. The sluggard says, "Oh, I'm going to get wet. It's raining out there. Oh, if I go to work today, I'll have to be around this person. And man, they bother me so much. Oh, it's cold out," as it says here. Or whatever the reason. What it's implying here is, I don't want to do that because I'll be uncomfortable. Or I might be uncomfortable. The problem is, their desire for comfort causes this greater discomfort later, doesn't it? That's what the Bible's teaching here. He will not plow by reason of the cold. So he has no harvest. Well, one day he could have gone and done some work. And then he could have eaten for the next winter. You see, one little choice, I would rather be comfortable right now, kids. You better think of the consequences. You might not even understand them right now. When you plant that seed in the ground, you don't know if it's going to be a bountiful harvest, if you're going to have to work hard on it to weed, or if it's just going to be perfect soil. You don't know all any of that when you plant the seed. You just know I'm planting this seed so I can have some food at the end of the year. But saying, it might be too much work. The choice of comfort causes greater discomfort later on. Proverbs 21 and verse 25 also reminds us of this principle. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Again, we have desire here. Oh, I want that. Oh, why don't I have nicer things? Oh, why don't I have the kind of food that I want to eat? Why don't I have the time to go and do this? Why don't? The desire of the slothful killeth him. But why does it kill him? For his hands refuse to labor. He didn't do what was necessary to be able to go and do what he wanted. Comfort right now causes discomfort later. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Laziness is also wasteful. 18 and verse 9 says, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Not just a waster, but a great waster. Just like my illustration of the time, it would have taken me a couple extra minutes. And instead, every now and then it takes me an entire day. You know, it wastes time in the long run. You think, oh well, I don't want to wash dishes tonight. I had a long day. I don't want to wash dishes tonight. I'm going to go read my book or watch my movie, play my game, whatever. And you get up in the morning. Oh, I need a coffee. Oh, that cup's dirty. Oh, there's no cups there. Oh, man. I should have washed the dishes. You know, simple little things. There's many, many ways that it becomes wasteful. There's times where I've been partway through a job and not completed it because something else came up and, well, I would rather go do that for a little while and come back and find out that everything I did fell apart because I didn't finish it. That choice to go do something I wanted to do ruined everything that I had already done. So I wasted that time. Man, you guys are going to think I'm horribly lazy. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4. Did you know that laziness is expensive? Did you know that? Laziness is expensive. It's not free time. Free time is the biggest misnomer for laziness that there is. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." He becometh poor that deals with a slack hand, lazy. I'll give half of an effort here. Or I'll do it later, whatever. He becomes poor. That means there's still a cost, but there's no return. Laziness is expensive. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tendeth only to penury." In other words, the poorhouse, the inability to pay your bills, so forth. Laziness is expensive. Being full of talk. "Oh, I've got all these great ideas. I have, if only I could do this so that I could do this so that I could do this." Remember the soul of the sluggard desires? All those big words, wonderful ideas, puffing oneself up is costing the lazy person. In this instance, the bragging lazy person. And these are just some of the main ones. I mean, there's many more. If you look up one of the next things that comes up on laziness, if you look up the word, it's hilarious because you have laziness does not exist, and then like one or two down in the search results, you have synonyms to laziness. 76 ready synonyms for the word laziness. Yeah, most English words have 2, 3, 5 synonyms. That's a different word that means the same thing. Laziness has 76. Okay? It exists. It is something that is very real in all of us. And the Bible talks about it a lot. Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, and you need to remember, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know what that means? That means he had the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. That he had Psalms and Proverbs memorized. And that he probably knew Ecclesiastes well and had many of the prophets memorized. To be a Pharisee, you had to at least have all 5 books of the law, the Psalms and the Proverbs, memorized. That was minimal. But he was Pharisee of Pharisees. And not just memorized like you can start from the beginning, quote through, but they didn't have chapter and verse the way we do. But they could say, in this portion, it begins right here, and blah, 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 blah. Not where, you know, somebody like me, where, okay, what's the first word? Okay, now I can, now what's the next word? Now I can go. No, they just pick part of it and go and tell you exactly where it is. That's where Paul started. But as a Pharisee of Pharisees, he knew more than that. So guess what? All of these portions in Proverbs and in the law, and in other places, Paul knew them inside and out. So he wrote to the church in Thessalonica understanding the entire principle. Excuse me. It's not just something that Paul thought, well, this would be good for you so you learn to be better people, more mature, and so forth. No. He understood the necessity of it, that laziness is detracting to your life and to the lives of those around you. Then we also have the example of Christ. You know, Jesus was always doing. Always. As soon as he started his ministry, he was doing something constantly. He would get up before the sun and he would go down after. You read through the Gospels and you will find he would get up and he'd go pray. And then people usually found him, so he'd start ministering to them. He'd call his apostles aside and he'd talk to them, but it wouldn't be long before the crowd started squeezing in again. And so he'd get up somewhere and he'd preach, whether it was on a mountain or whether it was on a boat or the seaside or in a graveyard, wherever, he would begin to preach. And then people would bring their sick and he would heal them. And then he would go for dinner and people would begin to crowd around him as he ate his dinner. And he'd go back out and he'd do some more. Jesus was always doing. Now, we don't have a record of what he did as a kid, but he grew in favor with God and man. And we find him in the temple answering and asking questions with the learned men. He's always, always doing. In John chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Think about that. That's the words of Christ. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, last passage. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." The communicate there is not just to talk to each other. In fact, that's not at all what it means. It means to give of yourself. To share with what you have, to share your time, to share who you are, your abilities. So to do good and to communicate, to pour yourself into others, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You want to please God? Don't sit there saying, "Oh, I need some me time. I need to just shut everything out for a while. Oh, I don't want to do that. I would rather just, play my video game." Whatever. Real quick, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians and see how Paul finished with them. 2 Thessalonians, again, chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. "Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ." So it wasn't just Paul saying this. It's they're giving the words of God. "That with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." The same thing that Hebrews says. It says, get busy. And as we get busy, we learn to be busy for God. We learn to see the needs around us and meet them as we can. Be not weary in well-doing. That means, man, you're pouring all your effort into doing all this good stuff and all you get is flack. Just keep doing it. You're pouring all your effort into doing all this good stuff. You think, man, what else could I do? But nobody acknowledges you. Just keep doing it. Because with such sacrifices, oh God, this is hard. Sacrifices aren't easy. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. See, if we use or increase our lazy streaks, if we allow our laziness, we're sacrificing to ourselves. Myself needs a little something here. I'm tired, I need to put my feet up. Or, I don't really want to do that, or whatever. I want to be amused for a little bit. We're sacrificing to the God of self. But when we are busy about what the Lord wants us to do, we're sacrificing ourselves to the one who gave all, who left heaven's glory, sacrificed himself in the most extreme way that we might be redeemed from our sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ was not lazy, but he got up off the throne of glory, came down and dwelt among us, ministered to us, died for our sins, rose again. And Lord, you continue to minister to us through your Spirit today to draw all men unto you. Father, we thank you that you've left us example. Please help us to follow in your steps, to walk after your word, and to be an example to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer request this time?